Hey, on .NET today, we're finding out from Diego how to migrate your Entity Framework application to Entity Framework Core. Check it out. Hi everyone, welcome to On.NET. My name is Christos Matskas, and we're here today with Diego Vega. Diego, you're a
program manager on the Entity Framework team and on data access in general for .NET.
Excellent.
Nice to be here, Christos.
Well, nice to have you. And I think today we have some really interesting stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah, I hope people like it. So I am going to take advantage of today to show some of the new stuff in EF Core, especially talk about it. But I want to focus on how people actually port an application that they already have on EF6 to EF Core.
And excellent.
We can talk about why as well.
Modernizing and getting the best of the best, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
So I just want to cover this very quickly. It's the roadmap for EF Core, the things that we released last year. The main feature that we had was a special support, the ability to have like geography and geometry points in or lines or polygons stored in the database, and the ability to write link queries that actually, for instance, filter on the distance, things that are in proximity of another point or things like that.
Okay.
That was missing. And sure. Also collections of own entities. We already have own entities that are similar to complex types in EF6, but now we support collections of those as well.
Perfect.
And query tags, that is a very easy way to correlate something that you wrote in link to the SQL that gets generated and that you see in the log. Basically, you can add a comment for every SQL query that you generate by putting a method on the link query. It says, okay, this is the comment that I need to include in the,
okay.
in the log.
Perfect.
And now we're working on EF Core 3.0 that we're going to release together with ASP.NET Core 3.0 and .NET Core 3.0. It's going to be a very big release for us, but basically because we are changing a lot of the architecture of our link implementation.
Okay.
So the main, it's not a single issue, but the main focus of the feedback that we get is about issues with the link translations to SQL and issues with performance of our link queries.
Okay.
And so we are basically rewriting that part of the EF Core to make it much better.
Perfect.
And much more robust. We are also working on a Cosmos DB provider that we actually showed here some time ago. We have been working on it for a while, but this is going to be the production ready version. And we are adding support for some of the new features in C# 8, like the IA sync enumerable interface that allows you to do a wait for each, so you can for each asynchronously over a collection.
Okay.
And that's actually something that we always wanted to do with EF queries.
Right.
And there are a few more smaller things. The other thing we are working on is Entity Framework 6.3, the next version of EF6.
Right.
EF6 is not a product that is moving as fast as EF Core.
Obviously.
We are looking at contributions from the community. They send us PR. And it's an open source project, but we're not investing ourselves on big features on EF6.
Sure.
However, we decided to port it to .NET Core.
Yes.
So that's the main thing.
Exciting.
Yeah. We found that basically for many existing applications, this is the cheapest way to move to .NET Core. If they already have an investment on EF6,
yep.
If they can afford it, we recommend that you port to EF Core. But
right.
If you cannot afford it and the application is not going to change a lot in the future, but you want to run on .NET Core and potentially on different platforms, operating system platforms,
yeah.
Then you can use the new version that is going to support.
So Windows Form from 15 years ago gets an upgrade to EF 6.3,
yeah.
And it's part of the .NET Core 3.0, yep. And can run in isolation from everything else. Obviously, it
yep.
doesn't run on Linux, but it's yep. something that we can allow people to do, right? So
yeah.
we can modernize their apps without having to rewrite everything, if that's there.
Yeah, so if of course, if you're using Windows Forms, then you cannot run on Linux. But if you are in a web application
yep.
and you port to ASP.NET Core, and
yep.
then the EF6 part that you were using, you port it to EF6.3, that is
yep.
basically an upgrade, then you can run on Linux. So
but it was the other way around. Like today, if you want to have an old .NET application, you can still use Entity Framework Core, right? Is that correct?
That's true too. So EF Core actually supports running on .NET Framework.
And there are some added benefits, I suppose, on top of that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the differences. These are two different products. EF6 was designed a long time ago. We started with it. The first version didn't even have support for POCO objects
yes.
or objects with foreign keys.
Glorious days.
Yeah, it was something that was designed with a different mentality in not thinking about the developer that wants to write code and they want to have simple entities so that they can focus on business logic and other things. So we had a lot of code generation. Mm-hmm. You had to create in a designer this model, and you always had to do it.
Yep.
And then we would generate very complicated code that you didn't even want to look into because it was
Let's not go there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another characteristic is that when we designed Entity Framework, the original version, it was not super clear that you needed to run under memory constraints. Especially you had a lot of memory at your disposal. So it had a very sophisticated mapping engine that uses, I mean, in many scenarios, uses a lot of memory. Mm-hmm. And it also takes a long time to start that.
Gotcha.
So it had a large memory footprint for that reason. And it was complex. Mm-hmm. It was even complex for us to evolve it, to add new features. People wanted new features, but it became more and more clear to us that it wasn't that easy to move it forward.
Yep.
So that's when, around 5 years ago, we decided to create a new code base, and that's EF Core.
Right.
And EF Core, the focus is on making it very lightweight compared to EF6, so try not to use more memory than we need.
Yep.
And also make it cross-platform from the beginning. And it runs on .NET Core, but it also is a .NET standard library, so it runs anywhere you implement
phones.
The standard.
So if you're using Xamarin, for example, you can use EF Core to speak to your backend database,
yes,
right?
That's true. In Xamarin, there are certain characteristics of Xamarin, in many cases, you need ahead of time compilation.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that at runtime you cannot do.
Right.
So you need to work a little bit around some of the limitations and also tell the linker, for instance, not to remove certain classes in order for EF to work.
Yep.
But it's possible.
It's possible. Perfect.
And today, after several releases, what we have is a very complicated list. I don't think that this is going to show anyway, but just look at the size of the bars.
Yes.
On the left, we have features that are only on EF6.
Yep.
And the main ones are table per type inheritance, many-to-many relationships without an entity in the middle.
Yep.
The designer.
EDMX, yep.
Yeah, the ability to do interception is another one that we want to bring into EF Core, but we haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle column, you have like all the features that
common.
They have in common.
Yes.
And finally, you have like many features that we have built into EF Core because we were able to move forward much faster.
Much faster.
Yeah. So we implemented already many things that people wanted forever on EF6, but we couldn't build in EF6, like alternate keys and batching for updates.
Perfect.
But it's not perfect. I mean, We're still
taking contributions. We still work with the community to see what they need and how we should move forward. And we're always updating, right?
Yeah.
And
we focus on adding new features to EF Core. We don't focus on adding new features on EF6.
Yep.
So this one is the one that if you are looking for something that is going to give you new features in the future, then you should be looking into EF Core.
Sure. Yeah. And funny, because before we started the session, we were talking about some updates, and I was talking about Oracle, and you said, you know, we just released an Oracle connector for Entity Framework Core, right?
That's true. That took some time, but they finally released a preview last week, I believe, of the provider for EF Core.
Mm-hmm.
They also released last year the provider for ADO.NET on .NET Core, so now you can use Oracle with EF Core and start trying it.
Perfect. Well, there you go. If you are using Oracle, then that's a good opportunity to go out and try EF Core. And I think one of the big things I took when I was developing with EF Core was the speed. Like, the speed that you get with EF Core, it's unparalleled when you compare that to EF6.
Yeah.
The startup stuff, how much lighter it is, and how much easier it is to use. Now, I know that a lot of customers have developed and worked on their applications over the years, so they're not using Entity Framework Core.
Yep.
Is there a way for us to, you know, help them migrate? I think that's the whole session today, right?
Yeah.
Show them how they can use a code-first approach.
Yeah.
To migrate from an Entity Framework 6 solution to an Entity Framework Core implementation, right?
Yep, that's what I want to show today. Let me turn off the slides, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a customer recently, actually, on migrating a project that they had that was using Code First on EF6 to EF Core.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot of things that basically I knew, but it was possible for me to experiment the pain points and actually see what in practice this customer had in their code. So I wanted to do that exercise in front of people so that more people can take advantage of that experience and learn how to do it.
Yes, perfect.
So I'm going to show first this application. It's a sample application that I created using EF6. I tried to introduce some of the things that you would use in the real world, actually, to hit those points in which you need to change the code to make it run on EF Core.
Yes.
But this is basically kind of a slice of a system for issue tracking.
Okay.
So it has a user entity that has a key that is just the name of the user, so the username. It has a repo entity, and each repo has issues.
We all have issues. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So each issues has comments, and it also has assignees. And this assignees is actually a many-to-many relationship. I wanted to show how to work around the fact that EF Core doesn't have support for that.
Yes, nice to show. Because sometimes when you start with Andy Framework or Andy Framework Core, we don't show the more advanced scenarios like the many-to-many or cascade deletes and what have you. So hopefully we'll see them on this sample here.
Yeah, one thing that is worth mentioning, EF Core supports basically mapping in general to any database that EF6 can map to, but not with the same model.
Okay.
It's basically EF6 can hide some of the complexity. For instance, many-to-many without an entity in the middle is going to still map to a table that represents the link between two other tables, but it doesn't force you to map that link table to an entity.
Gotcha.
But the table is still there.
Yeah.
So you can perfectly take that table and map it to a real entity in EF Core, and you still support the same database.
Fantastic.
And one of the goals of this exercise is to not change the schema of the database at all.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, if you are doing that exercise, you don't want to have to change your database as well at the same time, right?
Exactly. So I have also a DB context that I created. This is my issue tracking context. I couldn't come up with any cool name, so I
used that. It's quite descriptive. I like it.
Okay. So this one has a bunch of DB sets. It has the users, the repos, the issues, and the comments. And here in our model creating, I have done some configuration.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explain some of the details here. So one difference between EF6 and EF Core is that in order to choose the name of the table, for instance for repos, EF6 actually runs this through a pluralizer.
Okay.
So it takes repo and it, because it has a limitation on the pluralizer, it decides that the plural of repo is repo s.
Best effort, right?
Yeah. So when we created EF Core, we decided that's not something that we should repeat. It's a mistake.
Okay.
So what we follow is the convention that if you have a DB set, we'll use the name of the DB set as the name of the table.
Right, nice.
So you do your own pluralization. If you are working on a different language from English, you do it yourself and we'll just follow whatever you did.
Fantastic.
So in order to kind of fix what EF6 would have done, I explicitly mapped to a table called repos here.
Right, so EF6 needs to have an explicit way of declaring the pluralization if you don't like the default one, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the same, kind of the same I did here. So this is a many-to-many association. It has assignees on an issue, but then there is no navigation property going back from the users to the issues.
Okay.
And then I call this code to name the table explicitly as assignment.
Sure.
And then I also name explicitly the columns for the user ID and the, sorry, for the issue ID and the username.
Yeah, so assignments is our link table, and then the issue ID and the username are linking are the foreign keys to the entities, right?
Yeah.
Or the primary keys, sorry, to the entities. Yeah.
And if you don't do this, then you are going to get names that are not as nice. Basically, if you care about the shape of the database, then you do something like this. If you don't care, then you are going to get something like issue user table and maybe issue underscore ID and user underscore name and things like that.
So with EF6, sorry, with EF6, we need to be more explicit on how we do things if we want things to look nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I map this relationship. This is a relationship that the convention in EF6 and EF Core picks up automatically, so you don't need to do this configuration. But I wanted to include this code here to show how some of the APIs that I'm using here get renamed in EF Core.
Fantastic. Okay.
And then this is some code that basically uses this model. It deletes and creates the database every time. Then it adds some data. This is one of the developers on the team that I added here as a user. He has the most issues assigned to him, so it's kind of the point. I wanted to assign yet another one.
It's a real life example. There you go.
Yeah. So and here I have, well, basically the issue is consider porting to EF Core. And then some user that is very impatient file a comment saying, hey, are we done yet? So we'll try to satisfy
in the real life,
Yes. Okay, so after I have set up the database with data, I run some queries. So basically what I do is give me all the repos that have this name and include all the users that created it, the user that created it, and also include the issues with the assignees and the comments. This is the notation for drilling down into a navigation property. There is a collection inside include in EF6. And actually we need to change that. And finally, what I do is basically I have a method that I created that takes an observable collection, which is what if you were running on WPF or Xamarin or some other or UWP, you would be asking for an observable collection to bind to. And so I pass the local collection of issues to this method. And if I run this, I can run it very quickly. It's going to basically print out the issue with the assignees and the comments. It's basically a loop over the query and the assignees, and then another nested loop inside the comments.
Perfect.
So if I need to change this to EF Core, the first thing that I need to do is remove the dependency on Entity Framework here. And to do that, I can issue a command on the Package Manager console.
And to run this command, you need to have the Entity Framework tools installed, is that correct?
No, for this command, no, because it's just an install package. I can do completion. And then I want to do, there's an option for the uninstall package command that cleans up basically all the dependencies that are like transitive from Entity Framework in this case.
Very nice.
I recommend that you try to do that when you remove a package.
Okay.
And now I'm going to install the new package with another command that is install. And the name of the package for EF Core is Microsoft Entity Framework Core. And then because I want to use SQL Server, I'm going to use the SQL Server package.
Very nice.
Normally you add a provider. Different providers follow different conventions, but in general we recommend that it's company, Entity Framework Core, and then the name of the database.
Okay.
So this one, I'm running on .NET Framework here, so it's actually installing the version of the package and the dependencies for .NET Framework.
Which is perfect because we're showing how you can run Entity Framework Core on top of a .NET application.
Yep. So you could then port this application to .NET Core if you wanted, but that's for
that's a different
video.
That's not a requirement.
Yes.
Yes, that's for another video.
Okay, so it's done doing that. And obviously now I'm going to get lots of errors. If I look here, I have 15. If you have a much bigger application, of course, I have seen
many more errors. Yeah, but some of them can quickly be fixed by adding namespaces, I suppose, and stuff like that, right?
So let's do that first. That's something that I would recommend if you have like many. I did everything in a single file, but if you have many files, just do a search and replace of the whole model for all the using system data entity to use the new namespace that is Microsoft Entity Framework Core. For instance, once you do that, the include method is going to basically now compile because it loses the wiggle lines. It's defined on the same namespace. The entities don't need any change. We still support the key annotation, or if you had any required annotation here to say this property is required.
But is it the case that the annotations on EF Core are slightly less like we don't have all the things that were available in Entity Framework, right?
That's exactly true. So for instance, if you had a composite key, you cannot use the key attribute in EF Core. It doesn't support that. You need to use the Fluent API to configure the key.
And we have, in our docs, I think we have a list of what's supported and what's not supported. So we will include it in the notes, by the way, at the bottom, so people can go and quickly have a look of what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. So the first change that I see here that I need to do is basically now in DB context on EF6, I was calling a base constructor passing the connection string. And actually, DB context on EF Core doesn't have that constructor because it works differently. To configure the connection string, you need to do something else.
Okay.
So the first thing that I'm going to fix here is I'm going to add a private read-only. I'm going to just make it read-only because I can. String, let's call it something like this. Connection string. And now I'm going to lose this constructor because I don't really need it.
Perfect.
And I cannot call the base here. I'm just going to call the base without the argument. And then here I'm going to just say connection string equals and what I'm passing here.
Okay.
And in order to actually configure this connection string on DBContext, I need to add another override that is called onConfiguring. And I don't need to call the base, so I'm just going to remove that. But here I say optionsBuilder.useSQLServer. And I pass the connection string that I stored in the constructor. So this is something that I have seen customers have to do. So I wanted to repeat it here in the
video. Perfect, yes.
Now, this is how EF Core, the EF Core DB context knows that it needs to use the SQL Server provider. You need to always call this method.
Perfect.
To configure it. These guys are not going to need much change. This one requires a trivial change. It's basically when we created the EF Core, we forgot about adding the DB prefix here. So remove it.
Perfect. Forgot or was deliberate? I don't know. Let's.
Some of us thought that we should add it, but then some of us believed that it was not necessary because this is a change that you need to do only once per DB context anyway. So it's a little bit of friction.
Okay.
It's a small paper cut.
Yep. Less characters to type. There you go.
Yeah. So first thing that I noticed here is that I cannot do many-to-many anymore because once you say has many, there is no with many. That's because many-to-many without an entity is not supported in EF Core. So we are going to have to do something about that.
Okay.
Let's go to the top of the project or over here. And we need to add a real object to map to that table now. So let's create it. Let's call it assignment. And say, well, this one has to have the user, the username, basically.
Okay.
And it also needs the issue ID.
Perfect.
And let's add the navigation properties as well so that we can use it in the link queries that we're going to write. So we can do basically user. And here we can say issue.
Fantastic.
So that's the thing that we were missing in the model, that basically EF6 doesn't force you to include it, but EF Core does. So let's add that to the DB sets. Basically say DB set of assignment, and let's call this assignments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And well, basically, once we have defined all of this, we need to go back to the issue entity. And this one had basically the users directly, a collection of users, and we cannot do that anymore.
Okay.
We need here a collection of assignments. And instead of assignees, we are going to call it. So once we have done this, I believe that we are done configuring that association. It's basically the conventions on EF Core are going to kick in and they're going to realize, okay, I have this navigation property pointing here and this other navigation property pointing here, and you don't need to configure anything anymore.
Perfect.
And basically, because the name of the entity is assignment and the name of the DB set is assignments, and this is going to match the column names in the database, I can just get rid of this.
Awesome. Less code.
Yeah, this one is another one that is interesting. We don't have with required. We had with one that basically means, okay, this is the inverse navigation property pointing on the other side. And we have the ability to say is required as a separate call.
Right.
So once you have that, you are going to find out that we don't have a will cascade on delete method. We actually change to have an enum for different cascade
stage
behaviors.
Okay.
So the way you specify that now is with the enum cascade.
Perfect.
Anyway, the conventions in EF Core will actually do exactly the same thing that this is doing.
Okay.
So this code is not necessary, but I wanted to show how things get okay. named. So what else? We had these methods, some methods to check for existence and then delete and then create if not exist. We decided to change to a pattern in which we do basically ensure deleted.
Okay.
And ensure created.
And I noticed that there we also have async.
There are async versions as well, yes.
Fantastic.
So it's the same functionality more or less, but this one says, okay, if the database doesn't exist, it will just no op.
Okay.
If it does exist, it will delete it. And this one will say, okay, if it doesn't exist, create it, otherwise no op.
Perfect.
What else do we have here? So another change that we made that is a little bit of a pain is the add method in, I was using it to basically wire things up.
Okay.
The add method on EF6 returns the object that you just added.
Okay.
On EF Core, it actually returns a entity entry that allows you to do many things. It contains the object, but it also contains some other APIs to, for instance, do queries or manipulate collections or things like that. So if I actually want to have the entity back, I can call entity here at the end.
Right.
I'm going to do that on all the methods. I don't know if I need it for all of them, but I'm going to do it for all of them. Well, the last one that I don't need it because I'm not using it.
The assign is there. If you scroll down, it has to be assignments, right?
So yeah, exactly. I cannot do this directly anymore.
Oh.
So I'm going to remove that line and I'm going to start adding assignments directly. So I can say context assignments, that is the DB set that I created, add new, and let's add an assignment for me.
Okay.
So let's say assignment, and let's say user is DVega, that the object that I created before, and the issue is the issue that I created above.
Just above, yep.
Yeah, and then I'll do the same thing for the other person. Let's just create two copies. And this one's mid.
Awesome.
Okay, so we are done adding the data. This query, I need to change how I write it. Actually, include also works differently between EF6 and EF Core.
Okay.
We have this pattern in which you can drill down using select inside the path of navigation properties. In EF Core, what we support is a different method that is called then include. So basically you change it this way. So now I can include the assignments.
Perfect.
And then besides the assignments, I also want to include the user that is behind the assignment.
Okay.
So I'm going to call then include again. And I'm going to add, given an assignment, also include the user.
Okay.
So this one is, there is a bug in Visual Studio that basically prevents IntelliSense from helping for this version of the method, this overload, but it's getting fixed in the next version of Visual Studio that basically the 0.1 version of what we just released the other day.
Gotcha. 16.1.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, so this can remain the same.
Two more errors to go.
Yeah, and this one is interesting because in EF Core, we made the thing that .local returns much more efficient, but it's not an observer collection anymore.
Oh.
So if you want the observer collection, because you need to bind, you can call explicitly to observer collection. And this one needs to change because basically we are iterating over assignments now. And now I can say, well, once I am on a specific assignment, I can do var assignee equals assignment.user. And the rest of the code can remain the same.
Fantastic.
So I think that all the compilation errors went away. I included all the possible errors here that I could in this short code.
Some of the things that you've seen in the real world, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
But this is not going to work.
Oh.
So let's run it just in case, so that we can see the error.
So if somebody else comes across that same error, they will know how to fix it.
Okay. So let's try to go up to the top of the... Is this visible enough? Should I zoom in?
Yeah.
Okay, so the entity type assignment requires a primary key to be defined. So basically, we forgot to say EF core what the primary key was for assignment. An assignment has a composite key. It's composed of the issue and the user ID.
Yep.
So the way to configure this is on the model creating method. We call model builder dot entity of assignment, let's say has key, and here I can use a lambda. Basically, given an assignment, the key is defined as the combination of username and issue ID. So basically, you use a anonymous type notation to say, OK, this combination of properties is what defines the key.
Fantastic.
OK, so I think there is a 60% chance that this is going to run right. No, I forgot something else. Yeah, I think that I fixed one of the includes, but not both. So let's go for that. This is the code that adds the data.
Oh, just below.
Yeah, yes. This one. So here I also need to use the same pattern. Now there is a 70% chance that this is going to work.
A little bit at a time.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the code on EF core. All the changes that were needed, and is using the same database schema as the program that we had before.
Perfect.
There are many, many situations in which you don't need to make as many changes, but I wanted to show exactly the places in which it can be a little bit painful.
Yes.
And I want to add, like, you have to keep in mind that changing from EF6 to EF Core is not just an upgrade. It's a port.
It's a
different product. We created it differently. It works differently by design, although some of the APIs are very similar. And the point is that you have a familiar API. If you learn how to use EF6, then it's very easy to use EF Core, but it's not the same product.
Understood. And now we did show the code first approach. If I had an EDMX here, the process would be very different, right?
Yeah, I think in one aspect, it would be simpler. So the recommendation, if you have an EDMX, is that basically you delete the EDMX and you do a process that is basically reverse engineer the schema of the database to create a model using EF Core, using our tools. The problem with that is basically if you have invested a lot of on customizing the EDMX, then you are going to lose many of the customizations that you made.
Understood.
But you can basically repeat all those changes on the code.
Yeah, that you have. You just have to a longer process for the porting and the migration of the stuff.
Yeah, for instance, if you built something with inheritance in the EDMX, then you cannot reverse engineer inheritance into a model.
Okay.
It will just reverse engineer whatever the tables are.
Understood.
But then you can add the inheritance back if you want.
Thank you for watching on.NET today. I hope that you found this video useful, and we'll include all the links at the bottom of the video. Have a great day.